Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is such a blessing and honor to be here with you, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity to share the Word of God with you. And today, we turn to one of the powerful story in the Old Testament, one of the judges God raised up in the Old Testament to deliver His people. And I will just read we'll go through the whole chapter, but I will just read one verse. The book of Judges from the Old Testament, verse 12. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Today we turn to the powerful story of the Gideon. If we look over the Gideon life, his story is not just a tale of a military victory. My friends, the Gideon life is a story of transformation. If we look over the chapter 6 to 8, we can see that the Gideon life is a story from fear to faith. The Gideon life story tells us it's a story from weakness to strength. It is a story from obscurity to leadership. And most importantly, the Gideon life, this whole book of Judges, reminds us that God does not call the qualified, but He qualifies the called. That's the beauty of the God's calling. And what I want to share with you today is more than just a history, because we have read lot of time about the Gideon life. But today, my focus is the Gideon life give us a message of hope. It gave us a message of encouragement and challenge us, every one of us today. And today, we will walk through the Gideon journey and learn how God calls the common people like me, like you, to do a very special things. And today, the book of Judges reminds us that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And even when we doubt ourselves, like we will see that how Gideon will doubt in his life, but God, He never doubt the purpose He has for us. And that is the beauty of the God's calling. And today, we will explore the four things in the Gideon journey. The first thing we will look over in the Gideon life, God calls the unlikely. And the second thing that we will see in the Gideon life, God strengthen the fearful. And the third thing that we will explore in the Gideon life, God wins the battle. And the last thing that we will explore in the Gideon's journey, God wants us to finish well. And if we go through the chapter 6 to 8 in the book of Judges, we see how God takes Gideon, who was an insecure person, who was a doubtful, who was a fearful man, but God used him to accomplish a mighty deliverance for the ancient Israel. But the message who is written in the book of Judges, it's not just for the Israel. My friends, the word of God speak us today. It speaks us to those who feel small. The word of God speaks to us today to those who feel doubt, who are worried, and even those people who are too confident in their own strength. Today, the word of God speaks to us. And the story of Gideon ultimately remind us, it point us to the greatest deliverer, who was the Jesus Christ, who brings salvation not just from the enemy but from the sins itself. Let's journey through the Gideon life, and we will see step by step and hear what the Spirit of God wants to teach us today. And if we look over the book of Judges, the story of Gideon start from the chapter 6. Because if we read the verse 1 in the chapter 6, I will read for you. It says, verse 1 says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. This cycle of rebellion, oppression, and deliverance is repeated throughout the book of Judges. Because we can see, if we read the previous chapter, we can see that the people of God, the Israelites, forgot God. And then what happened? They suffered under their enemies. And then they cried out to God for help. And then what? God, who is rich in his mercy, he sends a deliverer. His name was Gideon. And if we read the verse, next verse, it says, in the verse 11, because God, when the Israelite was in the suffering under the enemies, under the Midianites, what happened? God made a plan to deliver the Israel. And that's why God sent the angel to the Gideon. If we read in the verse 11 in the chapter 6, now let's see what happened in the verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord come and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Josh the Abzurite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Let's pause here. If we look over the whole scenario, if we see what Gideon was doing in this verse, actually he was hiding. He's threshing the wheat not in the open field where he actually supposed to do, but he was doing in the wine press, essentially a hole in the ground, because he was trying to hide himself. He was trying to under the radar because he was afraid from the Midianite. And yet, verse 12 tells us something amazing. To the person who is fearful, who is doubtful, who is hiding in the hole, but God said very important thing to him. In the verse 12, if we see, it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Mighty warrior, if we think about the Gideon life, does he look like a mighty warrior? He looked like a scared farmer in hiding. But my friends, that is the beauty of the God's calling. He does not speak to us based on who we are. He speaks to us based on what he will make to us. Because that is the God's plan. And because when we see the God's will, God's always see the potential where the world sees the nothing. My friends, God see the destiny, but world see the weakness. God know that how he will use us to deliver his people. And when that was a very important thing, that the angel of the Lord, there was a big title that was given to the Gideon, a scared person. But what happened? If we see the following verse, verse 13, Gideon respond with the doubt. And if we see this verse 13, it say, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And if we go through in this verse, it say, but now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. Because sometime, can you relate this question with each of you? Because sometime we as a human, we also show this kind of behavior. Because sometime we say, if we face any problem, if we go through some hard time, we often say that, if God is with me, why my life is like that? We often say that, if God is real, where he is in my pain? But here, my friend, the very interesting thing to see that the God was speaking with Gideon. He wanted to make him a mighty warrior, but Gideon responded with doubt, but actually he was honest. So if we say something to God, my friends, God is here to listen to us. Because the interesting thing here, when the God speak with Gideon and when Gideon respond with the doubt, God was not upset with him. God did not rebuke him, but there was an interesting thing. There is an answer that God said in 14, God said, when God saw the Gideon, his fearfulness, when he saw that he is still in the doubt, but the God said to the Gideon, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian hand. Am I not sending you? If we see these words, when the God says to the Gideon, go in the strength you have. My friends, God does not ask us to go in someone else's strength. The word of God tells us today, when he asks us to go, we just have God. And trust, we need to trust in God. We will just go through what we have, and we need to trust he will supply everything. And the same reflection, the same idea, we can see in the New Testament also. Because this whole scenario, when God said, go in the strength, there was when Apostle Paul, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he says that he expects the same thing from the Lord. Because in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, when Paul asked the Lord to remove his weakness, God responded the same way. And we can read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where the Lord responds to the Paul in his weakness. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, and for my power is made perfect in weakness. My friends, God calling is not about our ability. The God calling is about our availability. We need to be available for the Lord. It is the Lord's battle. It is the Lord's work. He will do us. He will supply us. He will strengthen us. We just need to surrender ourselves to him. We just need to make available for him. And if we go back to the book of Judges chapter 6, we see that Gideon answers in verse 15. Because when he see that what God is responding him, regardless of his faith, the Gideon says in the verse 15, he say, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in the Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. If we read this verse, it tells us that Gideon feels disqualified. He feels unworthy. He feels too weak, and he also shows his humbleness as well. But listen to what God's reply. God says in the verse 15, I will be with you. My friends, this statement, this word was a game changer. Because it tells, when God is saying, I will be with you, it means the presence of God make all the difference. Because the presence of God make things all change. And there's another thing, because when God says, I will be with you, it reminds me what Paul said in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if we read verse 26 to 29, the Paul remind us the same thing, where he say, brothers and sisters, think of you what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standard. Not many were influential. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, so that no one may boast before him. That's the beauty of the God's calling. Because when God's call, he makes strengthen us. He helps us to move forward. We cannot trust on our ability. Today the word of God remind us that if God call us to do something, if God puts something in our heart, we don't need to worry how it will happen. We just need to trust, and we need to believe that God will provide us. And in this chapter, in the Judges, when we see that despite this powerful calling, when the Lord is saying that, go in the strength I have, when the Lord is saying that, I will be with you, Gideon still doubts. And we can see that the verse 17, Gideon asked for the signs, because he still was not believing what God was saying to him. He still was not accepting that how God can use to him. But we can see in the verse 17, he asked for the signs that is Is something real going to happen? And we can see that in this verse, he prepares an offering and the angel of the Lord miraculously consumes it with the fire. And later, he famously lays out a fleece. If you read this chapter, we can see that he asks God to make that fleece wet in one night and dry the next. And some people criticize Gideon for asking the sign. But the important thing here to listen that when God was showing his great plans to Gideon, but Gideon was asking for signs, showing his doubt. But the very interesting thing here for us that God was patient with his doubts. He did not strike him down. He did not get angry. God met him where he was. My friend, God came to his level and showed him that his power and his authority can change everything. And he can experience what God can do to him. And this same God's plan, if we read the Psalm 103, it says the same thing that how God think about us. Because if we question God, if we ask more clarity from God, my friend, God is always patient. God is always answer our question. We just need to surrender ourselves to him. We just need to ask. We need to spend time with him. And that's why if we read the Psalm 103, the verse 14 say, where the Lord say, "For he knows our frame and he remembered that we are dust." Because my friends, we as a human, God knows that we are fragile. We are fearful. We are uncertain. But he strengthens us step by step. Just like he did with the Thomas. Because if we see the apostle Thomas, who was one of the disciples of Jesus, he showed the same doubt. The doubt that Gideon showed in the Old Testament, we can see the same kind of doubt in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Because when Jesus appeared after when he raised from the grave, Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I see the nail marked in his hand." And Jesus showed up and said, "Put your finger here, see my hand." My friends, this attitude, it shows that we serve a God who is not afraid of our questions. We serve a God, he invites us to draw closer to us. And if we read the verse 34 in the Judges chapter 6, we read something very critical. Because after this whole conversation with God, after all the sign, it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." You see what God does not just call him, but he empowers him. When he says the Spirit of the Lord came upon the Gideon, it means God empowered the Gideon. And in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon individual for specific tasks. There are many references where we can see that the Spirit of God came for the specific task, for specific accomplishment. But in the New Testament, God gave his Holy Spirit to the all believers. Because if you read the Acts chapter 2 verse 17, we can read that the Holy Spirit was given to the all believer. Everyone who accept Jesus as a savior, we can receive this guidance. But we have to put our trust. We have to keep our faith in Jesus Christ. Because if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, if we walk in this faith, we can have the same power that the Gideon had it. My friends, we need to remind ourselves that God never sent us into the battle without equipping us. God meet with the honest doubt, but with his gracious proof. And if we read the verse 34 in this Judges, it says that God empowered him. God's Spirit turns fearful people into the faithful people. And this is what happened in the Gideon life. My friends, if you are struggling today, if you are worried in your life, remember what Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke. He said, verse 37, Nothing is impossible with God. And if we read the another reference in the 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says the same thing, that God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and the self-control. And if we read another reference from the Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, it says, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. My friends, this all references the word of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It continuously reminds us that we as a believer, we no longer fight in our strength, but we fight, we walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ who is living among us. That is, we as a believer, we as a Christian, we have a hope that we walk daily in the power of the resurrection. And if we move in this chapter, the book of Judges, in the chapter 7, if we look over the chapter 7, we can see that like in chapter 6, we saw God calls Gideon. Gideon is filled with the Spirit, God, the Spirit of God, and now he's ready to move. And in the chapter 7, Gideon gathers a large army of 32,000 men to fight the Midianites. But that was a very surprising thing that happened here, because God has a very different plan. Because if we read the verse 2 in the chapter 7, the Lord says, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hand, or Israel would boast against me, says my own strength has saved me. So God tells Gideon to let the fearful people go. And it says that the 22,000 people left. And then another interesting thing happened. Then the God gave a strange test at the water. And then what happened? Only 300 people remained. From 32,000, only 300 people remained. And what is against there? There was all over 135,000 Midianites. And so one side is a 300 men, and there's the other side, 135,000 Midianites. So it doesn't make sense. It looks illogical, but that is the point, my friends. God wanted to Israel know that victory would be his, not theirs. And the same idea we can read in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, where the Lord say, not by might, not by power, but my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. My friends, Gideon arms his men, not with swords, but with the trumpets, with the jars, with the torches. And we can read in the chapter 7, when they blow their trumpets, when they break their jars, what happened? God causes confusion in the Midianite camp. And it's written that they turned on each other. What kind of battle plan? Here we can see. It looks very strange. It looks very illogical. But my friends, that is the God's plan. A plan where he gets all the glory. And if we see in the New Testament, we can see the same kind of connection. Like in the Gospel of John chapter 6, when Jesus fed 5,000 men with just 5 loaves and just 2 fish, God does not need too much to do much, because with our small things, he can do the greater things, my Lord. And if we see another verse, like in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, where the Paul said, we have this treasure in the jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. My friends, maybe you feel like you don't have much to offer. Maybe you feel that you are too young. Maybe you feel that you are too old or too broken or too weak. But today, the word of God reminds us that if you place your little into the hand of the big God, he will multiply for his glory. Because the word of God tells us that battle is the Lord. And thus we need to remind ourselves that we don't need to think about our weakness. We don't need to think about who we are. We need to think about our Lord, that who is the mighty God, who says that the battle is the Lord. And if we move in this chapter, if we come to the chapter 8, we can see a victorious Israel under the Gideon leadership. And what happened, if we read the verse 22 in the chapter 8 of the Judges, we can see that after the victory, just with the 300 men, people were so impressed with the Gideon that even they offer to make him king. But Gideon said that, "I will not rule over you. Lord will rule over you." And it sounds very noble. It sounds very humble. But Gideon did some mistakes after the victory. There was one of the things in the chapter 8 mentioned that he make an offered out of the gold plunder. And this religious object become a snare to Israel. It leads them to the idolatry. And we can read in the verse that Gideon may have refused the title of king, but in his head he might think that he is a king, because he had so many wives, and even he named one of his son Abimelech, which means my father is a king. So this word tells us that at somehow in Gideon's mind, after getting all the victory, in his mind he thought he is a king. And here is the sad truth. Gideon, if we see the beginning, Gideon started very well, but he did not finish well. Let me say this clearly, that success sometimes can be greater test than failure. And this is what we see in the Gideon life. The Gideon who once tore down all the idols, who was against all the idols, but he indirectly caused Israelite to stumble again. He indirectly caused Israelite to go for the idolatry. And that's why if we read in the New Testament, the letter of Hebrew, where the Paul tells us that the author and the finisher of our faith, only he is without fault. My friends, let me encourage all of us today that it is not just about starting the race. If we see the Gideon life, we can say that Gideon started very well, but he did not finish well. My friend, it doesn't matter how we start. Today, the word of God reminds us that it is about how we finish it. And it's a very beautiful verse in the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." And today, the story of Gideon is not ultimately about a man with clever strategies. As we go through the chapter 6, 7, and 8, my friends, this story is not about a very clever or very special or amazing courage. This whole story of Gideon in these three chapters, it tells about gracious God who calls the weak, who empowers the humble, and who wins the victory himself. And because if we look over the Gideon life, he was hiding in the wine press. He was full of fear. But still, the angels say that the Lord is with you, a mighty warrior. And this is the identity that God wanted to give him. My friends, God often names us what he will make us into. Sometimes we are not in that moment, but he knows that what he will make us. Because if we look on the Abraham, who was Abraham? God made him Abraham, the father of many nations. And if we look over the New Testament, Peter, who was Simon, but he became a rock long before his faith was stable. And we as a believer, we as a Christians, we call to be a children of God. We call to be an ambassador for Christ, Because when we accept Jesus, when we walk with him, with his faith, our identity changed. We were nothing. We were Gentiles. But today we are his children. We become an ambassador for Christ, for his love. And this whole story of Gideon today point forward us to the greatest deliverer, Jesus Christ, who was not born in the wealth, who was not born in the privilege, but Jesus Christ, a mighty deliverer, he came as a humble servant. He did not defeat the physical army, but my friends, he defeated the forces of sin. He defeated the forces of death. And that's why on the cross, he gave his life so we might live in the true freedom. When he said on the cross, it is finished, it means he got victory on everything. And that's why we, as a his believer, when we accept him, we can enjoy the same freedom. We can experience his presence in our life. And before I end our sermon, I would like to mention one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Think of the David, the youngest of 8 sons, a shepherd boy who was not even considered by his own father. When the prophet Samuel came to anoint the next king, no one was expecting, not even his family, that God can choose David. But what happened? It's a very beautiful thing that the Samuel says here, that the Lord does not look at the thing people look at. The Lord looks at the heart. And all these stories in the Bible, we have so many stories in the Bible. If we look over the life of Moses, Jeremiah, Esther, there were so many people. They were common people, but God chose them and they did a great work because the God chose them. The God did through them. Like if we look over the Esther life, who was Esther? She was a young Jewish woman. She was living in the exile, who became a queen. And for such a time as this, and what happened? She became a queen. She was in the exile, but she risked her life to save her people. That was the beauty. And how she did it? Because God gave her a courage. How she did it? God chose him to do it. My friends, this all story confirm a very same biblical pattern. And the pattern is that God delights in using the unlikely. He delight to using the people who are humble. He like to use people who are afraid, because when they step forward in faith, he alone gets the glory. And this is how God's want. God don't want us to trust on our strength. God want to trust on our wealth, on our skills, but he want trust on himself, because he alone gets the glory. And as we return to our home today, my friends, please keep these examples in your mind. Please remind yourself every day that you are not alone. If God called Moses, if God called Esther, if God called Gideon, he can call and use me and you as well. So today I invite you that if you are fearful, come to God who says, peace, do not be afraid. My friends, if you feel small, if you feel like you think that you cannot not do something, come to the one who uses small things for the great purpose. And if you feel that you are lost, my friends, come to the deliverer who died for your sin and rose again. And if you are a believer already, if you have accepted the Christ, ask God to use like Gideon, to be a witness, to be a servant, to be a light in the dark places. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Gideon story. We are so thankful for the living word of God that give us a hope, that give us encouragement. Oh Lord, we are so grateful the calling that you call the unlikely and you strengthen the weak. May we trust you in our fear. Oh Lord, may we rely in you in our battles. May we rely in you in our struggles. Oh Lord, help us so we can walk humbly with you at the end, O Lord. Help us so we fix our eyes on Jesus, O Lord. And please use our lives for your glory. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.